Polished gears crank and turn, light reflecting off their teeth. Pulling back, the gears disappear behind a keyhole. A pair of doors embossed with rampant lions open in a flash of white light. A word appears before sun-kissed clouds. Lionsgate. Silver and blue block letters float over deep blue. MPCA, Motion Picture Corporation of America. Words appear in golden calligraphy letters. Motion Picture Corporation of America presents A Princess for Christmas. Snow lightly falls over black. Snow falls in front of a window display. A Christmas carousel spins. A nutcracker ballerina figure and a snow globe fill the window. A little girl peeks through the window. She points.
Once upon a time in a land called Buffalo, there lived a little girl named Jules Daly, who dreamt of traveling to faraway places where the people sang for a lark and danced on a whim, where houses were filled with calliopes and music boxes, mechanical dolls and cuckoo clocks.
Clocks line a shelf. Two guitars hang on a wall.
But alas, not all tales can have happy endings. Jules grew up and still has her dreams. Unfortunately, she's still in Buffalo.
Jules and a man sit at desks.
Hello, Buffalo Antiques and Stuff. Yeah, we buy and sell antiques and do clock repairs.
The little girl waves from outside the window.
Bring it on by.
Jules waves back. An older man in a tailored black coat looks at Jules through the window. He writes in a tiny notebook. He slides it into his breast pocket. Brow creased, he walks off. Shoppers walk through the snow with hoods up and scarves over their faces. A woman turns into the antique store.
I'll get it.
Hi. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm looking for a present for my daughter.
Okay. Well, what are her interests?
Well, she's a
bloodsucker.
A nanny with blonde hair writes on her crossword puzzle. In a kitchen, a little girl spreads peanut butter on bread. She reaches for jelly.
Manny, are you making a mess?
No, I'm just making a snack.
Okay.
Jelly slides down the cabinet. Maddie tiptoes off with her sandwich. The nanny sips from her mug. She lifts an open tube of super glue.
Strange. Milo!
Kazakwansky's Ninja Massacre. Awesome.
Hey, Milo. What's up?
Zoe, what are you doing here?
I'm your neighbor. This is my video store, too.
Quit following me.
You know that game is rated 17+.
Tell me something I don't know.
Psycho Bob will never let you buy it.
We'll just have to borrow it then.
Did you two find what you were looking for?
Yeah.
Milo hides it in his coat.
I'm out of here.
Me too.
Hey, stop!
Come on, let's go!
Milo and Zoe run.
Look out!
He's coming!
Stop that kid!
Let's run!
Psycho Bob runs into a man. In a laundry room, Maddie closes the washer. She pours detergent.
Milo!
Looking at a polished wooden box with a mirror.
It's perfect. How did you manage that so quickly?
Well, I have a 7-year-old and a teenage boy.
Stepchildren?
No, I'm their aunt, legal guardian. It's just the three of us, but I have a wonderful nanny who keeps everything under control.
Bubbles fill the laundry room. The nanny walks in. She slips, falling onto her back. The nanny sits up, bubbles covering her torso.
You're welcome, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. I just sold the limited edition music box. Now I can just find a customer for my freaky clock guts.
Jules, we need to talk.
The man at the desk gestures for her to sit. Jules sits.
I'm sure you know that business is down.
Well, I can do better.
You've been wonderful, and I can only imagine how difficult this year has been for you. Losing your sister and brother-in-law last Christmas.
Jules nods.
I'm getting through.
Look, there's no easy way to say this. Unfortunately, I can't afford to keep you on. In fact, if business doesn't turn around soon, I may have to close the store.
No, Arthur, please.
I'm sorry, Jules. Really, I am. You're the best sales girl I've ever had.
She closes her mouth.
I'll put out some feelers and see if there's any other job opening.
She forces a smile.
Thanks.
Jules looks down. Outside, Milo jumps over a white picket fence into a backyard. Maddie rushes to open Milo's door.
Milo, open up! We have an emergency!
Milo opens his door.
You left the house. I'm telling.
One word, and Dolly Dinkle loses her head. Got it?
Maddie nods.
Good.
A black car pulls into the driveway. The car runs into a trash can. Jules gets out of the car. She rushes up the front steps.
Milo! You left the garbage cans in the driveway again!
I can't take these anymore!
He's a murderer!
You asked for it.
Okay, what happened?
And Jules, Milo killed Dolly Dinkle!
And he snuck out again!
You snuck out?
Wait till you see the laundry room.
Mrs. Kelly, I am so sorry.
The nanny grabs her purse. The chair moves with the purse. Milo grins.
Milo, did you grab her purse?
The nanny yanks it free.
That's it. I quit.
Oh, no. Mrs. Kelly, you can't quit. I need you.
What you need is a SWAT team. Oh.
Wait.
But one more thing. Your check bounced. Again.
The nanny storms off. At a table, Jules holds the DVD.
Intensive violence, crude humor, blood, gore. Oh, suggestive themes. Milo, you're grounded for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yes, you are. And don't talk back to me.
But it's Christmas vacation.
And no TV.
What? That is bull.
Oh, don't even say it.
Better be careful, Milo. I'll send over if you anything in your stocking.
Who cares? Everyone knows there's no Santa Claus. How can you say that? Of course there's a Santa Claus.
Maddie's chin drops.
It's the lamest Christmas ever.
Milo walks off.
Milo! Milo, wait!
Jules walks back to the table.
Come here, son.
She lifts Maddie onto her lap.
Don't cry.
I know Santa wasn't Santa.
Honey, he didn't mean it.
Maddie looks back at Jules.
Just because it's only the three of us now doesn't mean there's no Santa Claus. You just have to believe, is all.
I believe.
Jules smiles. She kisses Maddie's head.
Me too, sweetie. Me too.
She squeezes Maddie tight. In Milo's bedroom, he lies staring at the ceiling.
Milo?
Jules walks slowly toward the bed. She perches on the edge. She looks at him.
I know you're really mad at me, but crushing your little sister's dreams is a terrible way to start Christmas.
Sorry.
Maddie and I gotta go get a tree tomorrow. You wanna come?
I just wish Christmas was over. All it makes me think about is losing Mom and Dad.
He turns onto his side away from Jules. He puts in an earbud. Jules looks back at Milo. She leaves.
Good evening. My name is Paisley Winterbottom.
Maddie walks toward the front door. Paisley looks down at her.
You must be Miss Maddie. I work for your grandfather.
I have a grandfather.
Well, of course you do.
Maddie, Mr. Paisley and I need to have an adult conversation.
Maddie stomps away.
I just need 5 minutes of your time.
I don't know what your deal is, but Grandpa Huntington's name hasn't been mentioned around here much since he cut off his son for marrying my sister.
Yes, that was very unfortunate.
Unfortunate? Did you ever meet my sister?
I'm sorry to say that I did not.
Well, she was a magnificent person. And that pompous putz of a family didn't deserve her.
If I may be so bold, they are not just any family. Their grandfather happens to be a duke.
Oh, whoop-dee-doo. What's your title?
I am the butler.
Really? I thought butlers were extinct.
Oh, no. We've made a comeback. P. Diddy has three.
The kids enter.
Master Milo.
Who's he?
I usually winter bottom.
And I'm here to invite all three of you to spend Christmas at Castleberry Hall.
Jules tilts her head.
Where's that?
Stone's throw from Liechtenstein.
It doesn't matter, we're not going.
Why not?
Well, for one, I have a job.
But your former employer relieved you of that responsibility.
No way, you got fired?
The airline tickets will be arriving this evening, and I have a check to cover your traveling expenses.
A check for $12,000.
Whoa!
We don't accept handouts from gutless, guilty family members.
But I was told not to return to Castleberry without you.
Well, then you're just gonna have to move to Buffalo.
He can stay with us.
No, he can't.
Oh, I say, but there's something you need to know. The Duke's not very well, and he'd really love to see his grandchildren before... You know... Oh, dear. I've said it.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I'll think about it. It's the best I can do for now. No, thank you.
He folds the check.
I'll hang on to it then. Good night, Miss Daly.
Good night, Mr. Winterbottom.
Jules watches TV on the sofa. She looks up. She places her hand on a white picture frame on a nearby pillar. A picture of the kids' parents fills the frame. Tears stream down her face.
We miss you, sis. I'm trying really hard with the kids, but Milo just seems so angry all the time. Maddie needs constant supervision. And now the nanny's quit, and the car's broke, and I lost my job.
Jules screws up her face.
I'm in big trouble.
She looks through her tears at the photo.
I just wish you were here to tell me what to do.
She wipes a tear. An envelope falls through the door mail slot. Jules crosses to the door. She stops to look at a piece of white card in a red sleeve on the floor. She picks it up. First-class tickets to Castleberry on Castleberry Airways. She takes a deep breath. She looks up. She inhales. A vintage silver limousine drives through snow-covered countryside. Jules, Maddie, and Milo sit in the back, looking out at the scenery.
Are we getting close to Grandpa's house?
It's just up ahead now.
Paisley quickly turns around to look at them.
Welcome to Castleberry Hall.
The three lean over to look at the castle on the snowy hill.
It's a castle. It's a mega mansion.
It's a nightmare. Kids, you can't break anything here.
The car pulls up to the front of the castle. Staff members in black and white uniforms stand in a line. The chauffeur opens the black door. The three climb out. Jules looks at the kids. A man in a uniform walks toward them. He takes Jules' luggage.
Who are they?
I think this was the staff.
Let me introduce you to everyone. They're all terribly excited to meet you. This is Mrs. Birch, the head housekeeper, who'll give you any assistance you require, Miss Daly.
Hi there. Just Jules is fine. What should I call you?
Mrs. Birch.
Okay.
And this is Abigail, who'll be looking after Miss Maddie.
You're pretty.
And this is Floyd, the underbutler, who'll be looking after Master Milo.
I have a butler? That's insane. Actually, can I have Abigail instead?
And this is George, the valet, Amy, the chambermaid, and Brian, the footman. Please, follow me.
them.
Yes, they seem quite spirited.
Mm-hmm. Enough chatting, go.
This is the Great Hall. It was originally brought with remodeled in the Empire style in 1852.
They step into a large marble room with gilded columns.
Wow.
They look up at the crown molding.
We're not in Buffalo anymore.
The servants will show you to your quarters. I shall go and inform His Grace that you've arrived. This way, please.
Oh, that's slick.
Yes, we keep it waxed.
Jewel smiles. She nods. She walks. The maids follow them up the grand staircase. Abigail opens Maddie's door. Abigail smiles. Maddie hops on the bed. Floyd opens Milo's door.
Cool.
Two suits of armor flank a window.
Where's the TV?
Milo walks in front of Floyd. Mrs. Birch opens Jules' bedroom door. Jules smiles wide. A large gold bed is positioned against the left-hand wall opposite an antique tea table. Mrs. Birch follows Jules into her room with a stern expression.
It's beautiful.
Mrs. Birch firmly nods. Jules opens a tall curtain. A man steps out of a red car.
Welcome back to Castleberry Hall, sir.
Paisley, excellent to see you. Thought you had a pleasant journey, sir. Lovely, thank you.
Mrs. Birch has laid a fire in your room.
Thanks, Gibson. Trifled inclemency these past weeks.
Abigail opens Maddie's suitcase. Potato chips lay on the top of her clothes.
Oh, dear.
Maddie grabs her doll.
No. We'll have to fix that straight away.
Maddie smiles. She hands it over. Floyd opens Milo's suitcase.
Yo, dude! Hands off my hockey jersey. It's a special, personally autographed anniversary edition.
Oh. My bad.
Milo raises a brow. Mrs. Birch lifts three romance novels out of Jules' bag. Raising her brows.
We do have a fully stocked library in the East Wing.
Oh, you know, I really do like to unpack myself, if you don't mind.
It's my job, miss.
Well, I won't tell.
If you insist. The dinner will be served at 8:30. And please, be prompt. His Grace does not abide tardiness.
Jules's mouth drops. Mrs. Birch rushes out.
Oh, Mrs. Birch? Oh, Miss Birch! Oh, wait,
Miss Birch. Jules attempts to open two locked doors.
She's a quick one.
Jules walks down the hall. She runs into a young man with coiffed hair. She grabs a light fixture, breaking it. They lock eyes.
Hi.
Hello.
The man holds her wrist. He lets go.
Oh. Sorry.
He smiles. He holds eye contact. She smiles.
You're Ashton.
Yes.
I've seen you in pictures. My sister was married to your...
To my brother. Charles.
Sorry about your skulls. It's old, isn't it? Probably pretty expensive. You know, it looks like a Louis Philippe. Yeah, it is.
Ashton nods. She creases her brow.
I can probably just fix this with some nail glue or a little light welding.
Just leave it.
Can you tell me the way to the dining room?
Down the south stair. Left of the corridor, second door on your right.
She smiles.
Thanks.
Excuse me?
Her eyes widen. She nods.
Nice to meet you, too.
He opens a door. She hurries off. Nighttime, outside. Spotlights illuminate the castle. A man closes a golden pocket watch. Paisley sets down a glass of water.
Your fizzy water, sir.
At the foot of the table, Ashton adjusts his tie. His eyes dart.
Milo, we're late.
Coming.
Milo wears his hockey jersey.
I wonder what's in here.
It's locked, which means, you know, do not enter. Come on.
Milo leaves the ornate golden handle. The three rush down dual stairs lined in red carpet. Jules looks down the halls.
Is it right or left of the corridor?
They rush past the dining room. The man's eyes widen. They scooch back into the entrance. Jules kicks a lion statue with her boot. Ashton stands. The man slowly rises.
Your Grace, may I present Master Milo, Miss Maddie, and their aunt, Miss Jules Daly.
Hi.
You sure you brought the right family?
Does he look like he's about to kick the bucket to you?
Not even remotely, but I'd sure like to kick Paisley.
Children look just like Charles.
Yes, Your Grace. I thought so as well.
Don't just stand there. Come in. Come and sit down. We don't want to starve to death, do we?
Maddie rushes over to the man. She tugs on his blazer.
Yes.
She hugs him.
My grandpa.
She smiles. The man looks at her.
Well, it's an empire chair.
Yes, please. Allow me, sir.
The dental gives it away.
Oh, thank you, Leslie.
Edward seems to have made a miraculous recovery.
Yes, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I might have been a tad economical with the truth, but he has been under the weather recently.
So, kids, this is your Uncle Ashton.
Hello there.
Is he your uncle too?
No, sweetie, I'm not related to them.
The grandfather, Duke Edward, looks down.
Castleberry sure seems beautiful.
Nonsense. It's a cold, clammy, miserable place. Milo, what is that you're wearing?
It's a swashbuckler's jersey.
Oh, you swordsman?
No, silly.
It's a hockey team.
I detest hockey. Bunch of thugs skating around with missing teeth. Now, cricket. That is a man's game. That is a sport.
What a weirdo.
He's not a weirdo. He's just old.
So, how long will you be staying?
Why, you want to get rid of us already? I was joking.
I know.
Well, children, is anything you would like to ask your grandfather?
Yeah. How come he gave us the shaft all these years? Marlo!
Oh, that's all right. Truth of the matter is, your mother had no title, which made her unsuitable for my son, your father. Oh, yes, but I realize I was being...
Complete dingle dork?
It's not quite the word I had in mind.
Now you've had a change of heart.
Oh, yes, during my recent bout with flu.
Maddie stares at him with raised eyebrows.
When you were close to death?
Well, it was,
He shrugs.
Touch and go there for a minute. Well, here I am. And so are you. We're all here together. After all, we're all a family.
Maddie smiles.
How do you feel about that?
Well, that depends on how you plan on making it up to us, Gramps.
In Milo's room, Floyd installs a flat-screen TV. Milo leans back on the sofa, his feet on the coffee table. Jules enters.
What's going on here?
Just hooking up the telly for Master Milo.
Milo, can I speak to you for a second? Your punishment was no TV.
Yeah, it's before you dragged me all the way to Castlevania to spend Christmas with Grandpa Wingnut.
I've done it. It works.
Thank you, Floyd. You can unhook it now.
Very well, then.
What?
You're not missing much. We don't even have HBO.
Floyd leaves.
I'm sick of you telling me what to do. You're not my mother. Not even close.
You're right. I'm not. But I'm trying to do the best I can. I miss her too, you know? Both of them.
Milo looks around. Jules reaches to him. He shrugs her off and steps backward.
It's gonna get better, Milo.
promise.
I'm tired. Can I go to bed?
Yeah, sure. Get some rest. I'll see you in the morning.
She smiles. She leaves the room. Milo paces near his bed. Jules strides down the hall, then stops. She opens Maddie's bedroom door as Maddie is climbing into bed.
You all ready for bed, sweetheart?
Uh-huh.
Have you said your prayers yet?
Not yet.
Maddie hugs her doll with tape around its neck. Jules tilts her head.
God bless Mommy and Daddy in heaven. Aunt Jules and Milo too. And if it's not too much to ask, could you please help Grandpa not to be so grumpy so we can all have a Merry Christmas? Amen.
Oh, honey. I know he's not the warm, fuzzy Grandpa you wished for, but... you know, it's important not to give up on people.
He wasn't nice to Mommy and Daddy, was he?
No, he wasn't. But you know, they loved him anyway. So maybe it's time for us to open up our hearts and forgive him too.
So you don't think they'd be mad we're here?
No, I think they'd be glad. It's a big step for your grandpa to invite you and Milo to Castleberry.
Okay.
That's my girl.
Aunt Jules, do you think Santa will be able to find us even if there is no Christmas tree or twinkle lights?
Don't you worry. Santa knows who all the good little boys and girls are. Sweet dreams.
Maddie wraps her arms around Jules, who gives a weak smile.
You scheduled a hunt.
Well, it's our tradition, remember? Well, I thought it would please you.
Well, it doesn't. I don't want a bunch of rowdy hunters tramping through the castle.
Father, they're our friends. Besides, it's too late to cancel now. What's the matter with you? I thought you wanted a happy family Christmas.
I changed my mind. Christmas makes me think of Charles. And so do those children.
Of course they do. And what were you expecting?
I don't know. To feel better.
So your new plan is to make everyone miserable?
I don't have a plan. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was looking around the castle and I couldn't find your Christmas tree.
Because there isn't one.
Jules tilts her head.
Why not?
I don't like them. They're messy, dirty things that drip sticky sap all over the mahogany.
Father.
But they make children happy.
I don't want one.
Then could you please tell me what you do want?
I don't think he knows.
Oh, yes, I do.
I want to know why I brought these kids here if it wasn't to give them a Merry Christmas. And I'm not talking about some creepy wannabe holiday in a clammy castle where everybody's walking around like Dawn of the Living Dead. I'm talking about a holly jolly Christmas with bells and bows and a big, fat, messy, sappy Christmas tree with twinkling lights so Santa knows where the heck we are.
The Duke's eyes widen. He raises his chin. Ashton grins.
Kids have had a really tough year.
So have we.
Then we all deserve a Merry Christmas, don't you think?
She creases her brow. The Duke lowers his chin. She glances at Ashton. She exits. The Duke reaches for his drink. Ashton heads toward the door.
You might reconsider the tree situation.
I will not. And if you don't like it here, you can go back to Geneva. I don't even know why you bothered coming home in the first place.
Because I'm your son. Maybe not your favorite one, but your only living one.
Ashton looks down at his father. He leaves. The Duke reaches for his drink. Outside the castle, snow covers the lawn and the shoulders of a statue. Thin cloud hangs over a valley of dense pine trees. A butler carries a tray with tiny glasses to a man on a horse. In Jules's bedroom, she lies under thick covers.
No!
She knocks over an antique clock.
Oh, what's that?
She peers through the curtains. A man in a black horse gallops across the snow. The horse rears on its hind legs.
Gentlemen, ladies.
A blonde woman on a horse rides up beside Ashton.
Who's that?
Jules Daly from America.
Jules spins to hide behind the curtain.
He's brought Charles's children over to visit.
She brought them all the way to Castlebury. What would she want?
Come on, you two. Let's go.
Come on, then.
The group charges off on their horses. Jules walks down the staircase in a red coat, a large scarf, and beanie.
Good morning.
Jules falls flat on her back.
Hello.
Jules's eyes slowly open. She smiles.
Hey, Paisley. Great molding.
Yes, I've always thought so. The children are strapped into the car and ready for their trip into the village.
Paisley extends his hand and pulls her up. Further down the mountain, snow sits on the pointed rooftops of buildings in a historic square. A banner hangs above a choir, the St. Mary's Orphanage. Jules, Maddie, and Milo carry gift bags out of a shop.
Would you mind putting these in the car?
Thank you.
Oh, kids, look, a choir.
They're orphans, like us.
Yeah, you have me. Both of you do.
Milo turns his head.
Next stop, Christmas tree lot.
Yay!
Yeah? All right, come on, Milo.
Come on.
What's that?
It's a calliope.
Look at all the Christmas trees.
Well, tell you what. Why don't you go in and pick out the prettiest one on the lot? Yeah? Come on, Milo.
That's right.
Come on, why don't you help us pick out a really cool one?
No, I'm just gonna hang back here.
Okay.
Come on, Jules.
Jules grabs Maddie's hand.
That one.
No.
That one.
Maddie smiles at a tree.
And Jules, I found the tree.
Jules kneels down.
Oh, that's a pretty one.
Kids play soccer. A ball hits Milo in the back.
What the? Yo, you just hit me.
Why don't we get this beauty back to the castle?
Hey, I'm talking to you. What's wrong with you? Say you're sorry.
Milo shoves him. The kid punches Milo. Milo charges after him and runs into a man holding packages.
Sorry! Milo!
We need some ice.
Miss Dean.
Sit.
A slight hit from the village water.
We'll find
out. Oh, dear. Shiner.
Thank you.
He got in a fight.
But no, don't speak.
Milo lifts an ice pack to his eye.
Really, Milo?
I don't get why you're so freaked out.
You flattened a Christmas shopper, attacked an orphan boy, and disrupted a Christmas concert conducted by a nun.
My word!
Sorry.
Something to tell the grandchildren, though.
Paisley smirks. He looks around. In the hall, Ashton brushes snow from his boots. Two men carry in a Christmas tree.
Where did you get that, Floyd?
Miss Daly, sir.
Jules.
Hey.
Hello.
How did the children find the village?
Oh, don't ask. They're with Paisley.
Oh, your tree went this way.
Jules walks down the hall. Ashton walks beside her.
So how was the hunt?
And why'd you say it like that?
Well, I'm not a champion of torturing innocent foxes.
That makes two of us.
What do you mean?
Well, I find fox hunting cruel and barbaric.
Which is why I advocated the ban on hunting them.
Well, then what were you hunting?
A man.
A man?
Yes. Dragging a fake scent. It's called a drag hunt.
She smiles. She exhales.
I'm sorry. I guess that news didn't make the Buffalo sports page.
Ash and I aren't formally engaged, but we will be any day now.
Hello there. Who are you?
Jules, this is my friend Thomas.
Hi.
Oh. Has Ashton been behaving?
Like a prince.
Oh, he'd better. After all, he is one.
You're not really a prince, are you?
I am.
No. Really, but...
The title comes from my mother's side. Are you joining us for tea?
Of course she is. Of course. Look what I found. An American.
Hi.
Hello, darling.
Ashton kisses the blonde woman.
Jules Daly, meet Lady Arabella Marchand de Belmont.
Great name.
You mean title?
Jules nods.
She's also my sister, but doesn't like to admit it.
Ashton and Lady Arabella smile.
Ah, sandwiches.
They look yummy.
Jules creases her brow.
What are they?
Cress and cucumber.
Don't they have proper tea where you're from?
Well, it's more like hot wings and a bottle of Bud. And definitely not served on a plate like this.
Actually, it's a hand-painted sandwich tray by Lewis Bilton.
You mean by Christopher Landry?
No, I mean Lewis Bilton.
My mistake.
Floyd enters carrying a box of ornaments.
Steely, we found the boxes.
Oh, they found the boxes. Really sorry, I gotta run. It was lovely meeting you all. Thanks for the sandwiches.
She hops over the couple's feet and runs out.
Lewis Bilton, you say? Let's have a look.
Lord Thomas flips the plate.
Well, sis, I'm afraid it's one for the Americans.
Darling.
Oh, wow, look at this. Oh, these are beautiful, Floyd, thank you.
Mrs. Birch enters.
Those decorations are off limits.
Why?
His Grace would never approve. And take this monstrous tree back where it came from.
You're kidding, right? It's Christmas.
Mrs. Birch crosses her arms.
You're not kidding. Can't you let it slide just this once?
You don't slide around at Castlebury Hall.
Jules glances over at Floyd.
Mrs. Birch, do you have kids?
No.
Nieces or nephews?
No.
You were a kid once, right?
Mrs. Birch's eyes dart.
How can you deny two children a tree at Christmas?
Jules's smile fades.
Don't you remember what it was like?
Mrs. Birch's lip quivers. She stares at Jules. Floyd and Jules sit either side of Mrs. Birch. They hold her hands.
It was a miserable childhood. I never had a happy Christmas. One year, I actually got a lump of coal in my stocking.
That's terrible.
No little girl deserves that.
Well, I might have, but still.
All right.
She jolts up.
Ah, I'm ready.
It's the spirit, Mrs. Birch. Right. First decoration on. Done.
Second one.
Come back here! Jules falls off the ladder.
I don't understand why we have to use a back entrance every time we go on a hunt.
You know how Father feels about muddy boots.
What I think is silly. So, darling, remember that we have lunch this weekend with my parents at the club.
I wouldn't miss it.
Milo runs into Lady Arabella, who drops her purse. A car runs it over.
Milo?
You okay?
She picks up her purse, covered in snow.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. It's all my fault. But I should be giving a better
answer. No, it's all right, Paisley. Everyone's all right.
No, no,
know, apart from my demolished brand new lamb leather handbag. You know, Ashton, I'd keep a closer eye on that boy if I were you. Completely out of control. Come along, Thomas.
Bye, Thomas. Don't worry about it.
Ashton raises his hand as the car leaves.
Are you gonna tell me which one of you two started this?
He did it!
I guess I did. Sorry, Maddie.
Maddie hugs her doll tight.
It's okay.
Well, now we're friends here. Why don't you two help Paisley with his chores?
Chores?
Yes. Feeding the Shetland ponies.
Ponies?
Oh, I say so. What a splendid idea. Come along, children. Let's go find some carrots.
I love ponies.
Well, these are particularly...
Thank you.
Don't mention it. After you.
Jules grins. She walks inside. Ashton follows. Nighttime. Fat snowflakes float past the castle's lit windows. A fire burns in the stone fireplace. Jules hangs ornaments on the illuminated Christmas tree. Ashton strolls in. She smiles at him.
Now that's a tree.
Isn't it pretty?
He looks at her.
Very pretty.
Come on, you want to help?
Well, love to.
She tosses an ornament to him.
Well, I warn you, I've no idea what I'm doing.
That's okay. There's no wrong way to decorate a Christmas tree.
He reaches out.
Mm. Higher.
Higher?
Well, you're taller, so I might as well use you.
Okay. No? Mm. Higher?
Yeah. No, it's fine. Thank you. Beautiful.
Perfect.
In the next room, Floyd and Abigail polish silver. They smile.
Oh, hi, kids.
Hey, you two, how are the ponies?
Well, this is a change.
A happy one.
Can we help decorate?
At the tree.
Wow. This is the biggest tree we've ever had.
I know. And Jules had to use her emergency credit card to buy it.
I didn't know that one still worked.
Look at that.
Ashton lifts a red and white ornament.
Father's favorite ornament.
Pretty.
What is this?
Ashton and Jules stand. Jules hugs Maddie to her.
It's a Christmas tree, Father.
I can see that. I'm not a bloody idiot. Where did it come from?
I bought it.
Maddie walks toward the Duke.
I expressly told you I do not want.
Here, Grandfather. We saved the prettiest one for you.
She hands him his favorite ornament. He looks at it.
Ashton said it's your favorite.
He looks at her. His gaze lifts to Ashton.
Oh, he did he?
Ashton's eyes shift.
Do you remember it?
Yes, I remember it. My elder brother and I were each given one at Christmas. And I broke mine. Oh, how I cried. He gave me his. I thought it was lost forever.
Well, there's a special place for it right over here.
Jules steps to Maddie and the Duke. Ashton and Milo follow. The Duke looks up at the tree.
Thank you, Jules. It is a lovely tree.
Jules smiles.
You're welcome. But it really was a team effort.
Ashton looks at Milo.
Come on, Edward, there's still plenty of tree left to decorate.
Oh, the staff can take care of that.
Oh, no. It's one of the best parts about Christmas. The family all decorating the tree together.
Come and join us, Father.
The Duke smiles and nods.
You're right, my dear.
The Duke sits beside the tree.
It's stuck.
Oh, you have any problems with that one? Here's the one. This is a nice spike.
Ashton hands Jules an ornament.
Can I have it? Thank you.
They look at the Duke.
Enjoying himself?
I know.
Milo frowns.
Great.
Beside them, Milo stares out a window. Ashton nods to him.
He's still having a hard time.
Yeah. I wish there was something I could do.
Leave it with me. Come on. Let's see if I can put this one here.
Daytime. The towers and spires of the castle loom up in the snowy landscape. Snow blankets an angel statue. Milo sleeps in his bed.
I'm sleeping.
Morning. Meet me on the terrace lawn in 15 minutes.
Is that an order?
It's a request.
Milo buries his head under his pillow. An arrow hits a bullseye archery target.
Great.
Your turn.
Milo picks up an arrow. He aims. It hits a stone wall.
Oh, man.
Which is your dominant eye?
Don't know, don't care.
It bounces off the target.
This is stupid. I'm going back to bed.
Milo. I can help you. Please. Pick up the bow.
Milo looks at him. He walks back to the bow. He picks it up. He loads an arrow.
That's right. Now, right side facing it. Fingers either side.
Jules walks out on the balcony. She watches them smiling. Snowflakes cover her hair.
The right.
Then your right eye dominant. Had my share of black eyes when I was your age.
Oh, yeah?
Tricky business. Fighting. Finally gave it up.
How come? Couldn't take a punch?
The contrary. No matter how many fights I won, I still felt like a loser. Now, load your arrow. One fluid motion.
Milo mirrors Ashton.
When you let go, let the anger go with it.
Cool.
Again?
In the Duke's room, Paisley delivers the Duke's breakfast.
Good morning, Your Grace.
Good morning, Paisley. Well, there's nothing like decorating a Christmas tree to get you into the holiday spirit, is there? Oh, Paisley, how many days till Christmas?
Five, sir.
Oh, five. It'll be a bit tight, but we can do it. We must get the invitations out immediately.
Invitations, sir?
Yes, for the ball.
We're having a ball?
Yes, the Christmas Eve ball. I just made up my mind. We must hire an orchestra. And oh, we must tell Ashton to invite all his friends.
I'm all right, sir.
Never better. How are the children?
Splendid, sir. Ashton is giving Milo an archery lesson, and Miss Maddie and Miss Jules are currently scouring the castle for Dolly Dinkle's head.
In a hall.
I'm so sorry. I could have sworn I attached the head firmly.
Good morning.
Jules startles under a table. She stands. She and Ashton pick up spilled apples.
Yours?
Thanks.
Look.
Oh.
He kneels, taking the doll.
This is a tragedy.
Ashton looks from the headless doll to Jules.
Don't suppose you want a new one?
No.
And I shall get my best people on it, and we'll not stop until this head is found.
Thank you.
Come on, Maddie. Let's go have a tea party.
Yay!
Jules and Ashton watch them leave.
I saw you and Milo on the lawn earlier. It's really nice of you to spend time with him. Maybe we didn't give you too much grief.
Actually, the lesson went quite well. And you're next.
I'm not very good at weaponry.
How about waltzing? We just got word that Father's throwing a Christmas Eve ball.
He is?
Yes. Well, someone seems to have turned him around.
She smiles wide and dips her head.
Shall we?
Ashton holds out his hand. She delicately places her hand in his.
You're too stiff.
Well, I could say the same thing about you.
I meant your arm.
Huh. Well, how's it supposed to be?
Response.
She shakes her arm.
That's better. Now, you need to count. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Sorry, I'm just not very musical.
That's all right. I am. Violin lessons from age five.
You play the violin?
Yes. Now, please, try to focus.
I just find it interesting, is all.
I find it interesting you eat hot wings and know the works of Christopher Landry.
Ashton spins her around. The Duke, Maddie, and Milo sit near the tree.
Children, I have been thinking that as you're both Huntingtons, it's my duty to expand your cultural education.
Can't you be off duty for the holiday?
Ah, you have the choice of language, literature, music, dance, or art.
I pick ballet.
A woman with hair in a bun stares toward a man in sunglasses.
What did you pick? Electric guitar.
The rocker lowers his sunglasses. The kids practice in separate rooms beside the ballroom.
Arms and parade.
Ashton and Jules practice the waltz. Jules smiles. They waltz past the practice rooms. Ashton frowns toward the guitar practice. Ashton looks at Jules. He smiles.
This is impossible.
Come on, loosen up.
She messes his hair up. She unzips his sweater.
I'm not really the funky type.
Well, don't worry, because I am. Gymnastic lessons at the YMCA.
She dances to a stereo.
Yeah, come on.
She dances toward him. She poses and scissors her arms and shimmies.
Come on. Like that, baby. I know you're a prince, but I think you've got some gangster in there somewhere. Yeah?
She dances and scoots near him. He untucks his shirt. Maddie and the ballet teacher dance.
Yeah.
Ashton shakes his body. Jules lifts her hands in the air. He bends down on his knees. Jules smiles. Milo and his guitar teacher jam. Maddie and her ballet teacher shake it. Ashton bends down. He pulls his sweater over his head. Ashton makes hand gestures. Jules laughs. Lady Arabella enters. She turns off the music. Ashton's eyes widen. He stands up.
Terribly sorry to interrupt your little, ghetto dance, but we had...
lunch. With your parents.
Yes. Excuse us.
Ashton looks to Jules and gestures after Lady Arabella. He jogs after her.
I'm sorry. Really, I am.
It's all right. I forgive you this time. You've had quite a lot of distractions. You know, Ashton, I think it's wonderful what you're trying to do with these children. I really do.
Well, they seem to be enjoying themselves, don't they?
Yes. But their lives are in Buffalo, and they'll be going home soon. And of course, you know, you'll see them occasionally on holidays and graduations. But one has to be realistic. They're not like us. It's not fair for you to try and change them.
Change them?
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt, sir, but we're in a trifle quandary over the canapes for the ball.
Fire away.
Well, chef can't decide between shrimp quiche or salmon mousse.
Oh, well, I'd prefer the salmon. But of course, caviar is so much better.
Salmon, then? Or neither?
Ashton looks between them and shrugs.
Well, perhaps I should come back later.
Speaking of tomorrow night, I bought the most splendid dress for the ball. Here, walk me to my car.
Miss Jules said it was beige. Huh? This must be it.
They examine a drab dress.
Not much of a ball gown.
Maybe a good pressing will help.
In the Duke's study, he reviews a guest list.
How's the guest list coming along?
Oh, fine, fine. Practically everyone's accepted.
Good.
Jules descends the stairs.
Lord and Lady Cromwell. They're impossible to pin down.
Jules checks her wristwatch and steps to a clock outside the study. She opens the clock.
Aren't you supposed to be at lunch with Arabella and her parents?
I watched the time. We're going to reschedule.
Well, that's rather irresponsible.
Jules fixes the clock with a hairpin.
Be a mistake.
No, Father. I assure you, it wasn't intentional.
Well, everything's fine then, isn't it? I hear you've been spending some time with Jules.
Jules looks toward the study.
I've been teaching her to waltz for the ball.
Do we have to invite her?
The Duke circles Bunny McCracken on the guest list.
Let me guess. You don't want her there because she has no title.
Yeah. Real fortune, for that matter. But apart from that, she is obscenely crass.
Jules's face drops.
I don't suppose we can uninvite her.
No. Let's just hope she's not an embarrassment, that's all.
Jules's brow creases. She lowers her head. Ashton walks out. Tears fill Jules's eyes.
Hello. Well, that clock hasn't worked in years.
Well, the suspension spring was just out of whack. It should work fine now.
You're amazing.
I gotta go make Christmas cookies. I promised the kids.
Ashton watches her leave. He looks at the clock. Nighttime. Ashton plays the violin before a fireplace. Abigail and Mrs. Birch sit on the stairs eating cookies.
So are quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Miss Jules made them.
Lovely girl.
I wonder what made him start playing again.
You mean who?
What is it, Floyd? Sorry for the intrusion, sir. But I found it.
Floyd raises Maddie's doll head. Ashton knocks on a bedroom door. Jules answers.
I believe you've been looking for this.
He eyes the doll's head.
Thanks. Maddie will be thrilled.
You all right?
Got something in my eye. I'm fine.
Of course. Well.
Was there anything else?
Yes. I've been wanting to ask. Appears to be a quandary about the canopies.
What is it?
Shrimp quiche or salmon mousse?
Which do you like?
Shrimp quiche.
There you go, then.
Do you like shrimp?
Not very much.
Quandary solved, then.
Ashton darts his eyes at her. He looks away. He leaves. Jules sags. She slowly closes the door. Milo huddles in front of the locked doors. He whips his head and looks behind him. Milo turns around. He smirks. He opens the door. Light from the hall falls on a desk. Snow blows through an open window. Picture frames fill a shelf. He slowly walks over to the bookcase. He looks down at an old photograph. Milo looks around. He taps his hand on the desk. Milo looks up. A large gold trophy sits in front of an archery target. He lifts the trophy and reads the engraved plaque on the bottom. Castlebury Archery Champion, Charles Huntington.
Charles was the best, you know.
Ashton looks in.
Your father.
Milo glances down at the trophy.
Much better than I could have ever been.
Ashton crosses to the open window.
Why did he keep his room locked?
I suppose... it hurt too much to remember.
Yeah, but this is all that's left of my father. It's what keeps him alive. Why don't you want to remember? Every day I wake up and I try not to forget, but his face just keeps slipping further and further away. And pretty soon, if I don't keep trying, there'll be nothing left.
That's not true. The love he had for you will always be here.
Ashton taps Milo's chest near his heart.
Yeah. You're a lot like him.
Really?
It's rather wonderful. Milo, I'm so grateful that you, Maddie and Jules have come for Christmas. It's lifted everyone's spirits. I hope you all know that.
Ashton leans his head in.
How about we leave this door open from now on?
Okay.
Come on. It's late. We've got a big day tomorrow.
Ashton places his hand on Milo's shoulders. He looks down at his brother's desk as they pass. Daytime. Snow covers three statues that line a large fountain. In Jules's room.
I'm coming. Coming.
Jules hurries out of bed.
I'm sorry, did I wake you?
Is everything all right?
No, there's been a slight incident.
Incident?
Abigail holds Jules's dress with a large burn hole.
I'm so sorry, miss. I didn't realize the iron was so hot.
It's okay, Abigail. It's okay.
What you're blubbering about. Miss Davy's the one with nothing to wear to the ball tonight.
What's that burning? Oh, I say. Oh, that's a big one.
Thank you, Paisley, for your keen observation.
What are we to do? All the village dress shops are closed for Christmas.
We'll have to repair it as best we can.
Maybe this is a sign.
What do you mean?
I shouldn't go to the ball.
You can't be serious.
My dear Miss Daly, if it wasn't for you, there wouldn't even be a ball.
That's very kind of you to say. I think I'm going to sit this one out.
She pats Abigail and exits.
Oh, cobblers. Well, we have to do something. Now, this is my idea. I'm the dude.
In Jules's room, she peeks out the curtains. Two statues stand tall in front of snow-covered pine trees. Jules shuts the curtain. Tears fill her eyes. Her mouth opens. She inhales. In the kitchen, a chef flambés while a pastry chef frosts a cake. The chef places pasta into boiling water. In the Duke's room.
I must say, this tailor's done a remarkably good job with just one fitting, sir.
Oh, thank you, Paisley. It's going to be a wonderful evening.
Jules zips her suitcase. She shuffles through the sleeve of airline tickets and takes one out. In the hall.
Crystal through to the bar. Oh, Patricia! You found the rest of the spur. What a clever girl. Through to the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Brandy glasses, two of the drawing room. Everything going to schedule?
Oh, yes.
Ah, splendid, splendid.
Oh, the musicians are here.
Cheerio,
this
sir.
Way, gentlemen.
Yeah. Evening.
Through here.
Evening.
Welcome.
Good
king. This way, sir.
On the feast of Stephen. When the snowy run, boom, 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 boom. Get back to work.
Right.
In Ashton's room, he adjusts his white bow tie in front of a mirror. He moves the bow tie until it is perfectly straight. Ashton lowers his head to study himself in the mirror. In Milo's room, Jules adjusts his white bow tie.
I still don't get why you're going home early.
Well, I better go back and get a job. Besides, you, Maddie, you're gonna have a great time.
Milo nods.
I'll see you both when you get back.
Jules smooths his tux and adjusts his tie. She smiles.
Well, 007 eat your heart out. Pretty cool.
And Jules?
Yeah?
You're pretty cool.
Milo smiles.
Thanks, Milo.
Maddie enters in a satin dress.
There's my princess. Maddie, honey, we're really gonna have to start practicing snack moderation.
She takes chips.
Why won't you come to the ball with us?
Next time, sweetheart, okay?
But you'll miss Christmas.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll celebrate it when you get back. That way you get two Christmases.
Okay.
I need you to do me a favor. Can you say goodbye to your grandpa and Uncle Ashton for me?
Maddie nods.
Wait till I've gone, all right?
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's better this way. I have so much to do tonight. Like introducing you two gorgeous things to Castleberry. Come on, stand up. I want to see you. You look spectacular. I love you both very much. And I know your two parents are looking down and are so proud of you.
Jules smiles.
So am I.
She stands and hugs them.
Now go knock them dead.
Milo guides Maddie out. They look back from the door. Jules waves. They leave. Jules sits down. She grimaces and covers her mouth. Outside, valets help guests out of cars.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you, sir.
Jules exits a back door and slips into a taxi.
This is the right choice. Castleberry train station, please.
The taxi takes off. Jules looks out the window. She turns her head to look out the rear window. She turns around. She sighs.
Miss Daly.
Mrs. Birch enters Jules' room. She looks around. Her closet is empty.
Jules!
Lord and Lady Mumford of Dusseldorf. Sir Christopher.
In the hall, the Duke, Ashton, Milo, and Maddie greet guests.
Where's your Aunt Jules?
Where's Pastor Taylor?
Not yet.
Tell me what.
Hello. Edward.
Lady Mumford.
Just in the nick of time.
Abigail pulls a bag from the Duke's car. Floyd shuts the door.
Hold it! Get in! Get in, get in!
Where are we going?
The train station. Jules has made a run for it. Come on!
The three pile in.
Sergeant Gibson!
Their Graces, the Duke and Duchess of Belmont, the Honorable Marquis of Belmont, and Lady Arabella.
Guests stare as Lady Arabella slinks across the hall in a royal blue dress.
Arabella, my dear, you look lovely.
Grand Duke and Duchess of Eindhoven.
Sir Edward, you're too kind.
Thomas.
Sir.
Hello,
nice
darling.
To see you. Edward, such a pleasure to see you again.
Arabella, I've been trying to reach you. Why haven't you returned my calls?
So sorry. I've been absolutely crazy getting ready for the ball.
I said it was urgent.
Stop being so dramatic.
Look, I need to talk to you. Can't wait.
Okay.
She looks him up and down.
Arriving
at the station.
Jules, where are you going?
Mrs. Birch, I'm taking a train to the airport.
You've left something behind.
I did?
Yes, it's in the car. Come on.
Okay.
Mrs. Birch pulls Jules into the car.
You're all here. What's this?
Your ball gown.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Were you able to fix it?
Not exactly.
I'm sure it's fine. Thank you so much for doing this.
Don't you at least want to have a look-see?
Sure.
Jules stares at a bodice sparkling with beads.
Oh, that's not my dress.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Paisley had it brought in from Vienna.
Who paid for this?
The entire staff pitched in, miss.
This is too much.
Come on, you can discuss this later. Floyd, get in the front seat. Gibson, raise up the partition. Jules has a ball to get ready for.
Oh my God.
In a study.
Was that the editor of French Vogue talking to Countess Lilyhook?
I'm not sure.
Arabella admires herself in a compact.
Arabella, do you think we're right for each other?
What a silly question. We're perfect for each other. Everyone says so. Even our parents think we're an ideal match.
But what if I didn't hold a title?
Don't be ridiculous, darling.
Didn't answer my question.
Well, it's a stupid question.
Ashton's eyes narrow.
All right. If you were a gardener, I wouldn't give you the time of day. There. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's the truth. We don't want the same things. My life doesn't fit with yours.
She stares at him.
Are you breaking up with me?
He looks down.
No, of course you're not. Everyone's expecting us to be engaged.
Thing is, I'm not sure I can really make you happy.
I don't care about being happy. I care about being a princess.
He raises his brows. His forehead creases.
It's over, Arabella.
Oh, they are the little birds.
Mother.
And Lady McGill.
Where's your Aunt Jules?
We can't say.
Milo hugs her. Mrs. Birch runs to Paisley.
Jules, she brought her water. She's coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Jules Daly of Buffalo. Oh.
Jules stands at the top of a garland-festooned staircase. Her pale blue gown sparkles with crystals. The chiffon skirt sweeps around and behind her as she descends. Guests look to each other and to her. Maddie and Milo smile broadly at her. Jules pauses at the bottom of the steps. She blinks.
Buffalo, my word. They'll let anyone in a royal ball these days.
Maddie hugs Jules.
Aunt Jules, you're here.
Hey, Brad Dress.
Thanks.
We're really glad you came back.
Me too.
Jules, words fail me. You're quite breathtaking.
Thank you, Your Grace.
I think we should start the ball.
In the ballroom, tiered gold chandeliers hang from the ceiling. Columns line the perimeter. Men in black tuxedos spin women in colorful gowns. Garlands covered in ornaments decorate the room. The Duke enters with Jules. Jules's jaw drops. Milo and Maddie smile. They take in the room. Jules watches guests in turbans and kilts, others in formal military uniforms.
Lady Christina. Well, children, how about a dance?
Yeah!
Okay.
Jules?
Oh, no. I think I'll wait right here.
Jules looks up. The Duke leads Maddie to the dance floor. He spins Maddie. Jules walks along the edge of the dance floor. Milo dances with a woman in a pink dress with a tiara. Jules holds a vase.
Henry de Saint.
She looks at the bottom.
Yes.
Enjoying yourself?
I was just admiring your urn.
See?
Well, you know me in antiques. Can't keep my hands off them. I didn't break this one, though. I'm trying very hard not to be an embarrassment.
What do you mean?
I overheard you and Edward in the study. I know you didn't want to invite me tonight. The crass girl with no title or fortune.
Oh, no. No, you misunderstand. Father was talking about Bunny McCracken.
Who?
Well, she's a dreadful, grisly sort of woman.
despises children and senior citizens. She's over there.
Bunny McCracken shoves appetizers into her mouth.
That's her name. Not that she's grizzly, but...
Jules, well, you must know that. Perhaps you don't, but... Truth is, I hold you in the highest possible regard. I couldn't care less about your title. I find you funny, smart, and surprisingly funky, which is a rare combination.
Jules smiles. Ashton grins. Maddie spins. The Duke bows. Maddie curtsies.
I believe they're playing our song.
We don't have a song.
We do now.
Ashton holds out his hand. Jules places her hand on top of his. A large black ring shines on her finger. They move into position. From above, they waltz. They gaze into each other's eyes. Women watch from the side. He smiles. Four musicians play the violin. Ashton and Jules lock eyes as they dance. Lady Arabella's mom notices the two dancing together.
What?
Bunny McCracken and the other women watch. They whisper.
Do something.
What is that? What?
Lady Arabella's father storms across the floor. Lady Arabella scowls next to her mother.
What has you all so riveted?
Lady Arabella spots Ashton and Jules dancing. She glares.
I suggest you keep a tighter rein on your son.
What on earth are you talking about?
That.
Lady Arabella's father points to Jules and Ashton. They smile and laugh as they spin. He dips her. They hold the last pose.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I just think I need some air.
Of course.
Jules hurries out of the ballroom. Ashton follows.
Jules. Jules, wait.
He runs toward her. Jules stops.
You should go back in. I'm sure they're looking for you. I'll just hang right here.
Then I'll hang with you. If that's all right.
Okay.
He leans in. He kisses her. They slowly pull away.
What about Arabella?
It's over.
What happened?
You absconded with my heart.
Jewel smiles wide.
How did I do that?
Her smile fades.
You're the Prince of Castlebury. I'm just a poor girl from Buffalo.
Exactly.
He smiles. He leans in. They kiss in front of a tall window. Heavy snow falls outside. They hold each other and sway. Ashton caresses her arm. She wraps her arms around his neck.
It's an outrage! Prince Ashton is flagrantly cavorting with that strumpet while he's expected to be engaging our daughter.
My son has a mind of his own.
Oh, yes. We know all about your sons and their fascination with a great and washed.
Bite your tongue, woman.
I am the most honorable Duchess of Belmont, and it would behoove you to address me as such.
You may well be a duchess, but Jules Daly is more of a lady than you will ever be.
You obviously don't know the real Jules Daly. She's clearly after your money. Why else do you think that girl is here? And anyone can see that she can't manage those children on her own.
Milo hugs Maddie.
So, I did little personal research. And did you know that Miss Jules Daly was fired from her job? Master Milo is, in fact, a kleptomaniac. Or that little Maddie is a trans fat junkie.
That is a lie.
No.
Oh, dear.
Arabella's right. See? Told you. Mallow did steal that video game. But he returned it. And Maddie does have a temporary fascination with chips, which we're trying to fix. And I am currently unemployed, but I hope for not too long because I really like working. I may not know much about parenting, but I know we don't need money to make us happy.
Bunny McCracken scowls.
But we do need each other.
Jules touches Milo's arm.
These are brave kids. They deserve a chance at a family. And as inconceivable as that may seem, Arabella, that's the only reason we're here.
Ashton, you don't honestly believe her.
Ashton steps to Jules. He looks down at her. The Duke watches.
Yes, I do.
Jules smiles and lowers her head.
Edward? Surely you can see that she's...
So who cares? You say Jules is a bad mother. Well, I've been a lousy father. And an even worse father-in-law. So Jules lost a job. You have never worked a single day in your life. And if you ask me, Lady Arabella Marchand of Belmont, you're the one who is all fur coat and no knickers.
I never.
She stalks off.
This is it. We're leaving.
Wise decision.
Come on, Thomas.
Of course you would act like that.
Ashton crosses to his father.
Thank you. Father.
He offers his hand.
No. Thank you for putting up with an old fool.
They embrace.
Now, if I might give you a bit of fatherly advice. Don't let that girl get away.
Jules hugs the kids. Ashton looks over at her. He walks toward her.
May I speak to your Aunt Jules for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Ashton takes her hand.
Jules, I know we don't have hot wings or hockey in Castlebury, but we do have crumpets and cricket. Is it possible you, Milo, and Maddie would consider extending your stay here at Castlebury Hall?
She smiles. Paisley and the staff smile from the wings. The Duke joins them.
Beautiful gown Jules is wearing.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's lovely.
Excellent taste. I wonder where she obtained it. I suppose if you wish to be reimbursed, you should produce a receipt for me by morning.
Paisley turns toward him. The staff grin.
Come on back to work.
Thank you, sir. You're a good man, Paisley.
They look up.
Must be tired.
The Duke opens the doors to the library.
Children?
The children enter, followed by Jules and Ashton. Santa places presents under the Christmas tree.
See, Maddie? I was wrong. There is a Santa Claus.
Come on, children.
Milo and Maddie run in. Ashton and Jules smile.
Hi, Santa.
Come, come.
Maddie hugs Santa.
Hey, look at all these presents.
Look at that huge gold one.
Where did all these presents come from? Edward, you're amazing.
No, my dear, you're the one that's amazing.
Ashton touches Jules' hand. The Duke's smile fades.
What is it, Father?
I just wish Charles... I wish he were here.
But he is. Can you see him in the joy of Milo's eyes?
Yeah.
In the sparkle of Maddie's smile? Charles is here. So is my sister.
You're so right, my dear. Ashton, this is a very, very wise girl. We should not be lamenting what we have lost, rather celebrating what we have found. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Father.
Santa looks at Maddie. She smiles.
You gotta see this.
The family gathers around the window. Fireworks reflect off of the window. Light snow falls from the sky. massive green and red fireworks erupt above the castle. Daytime, on a balcony, in white dress, Jules kisses Ashton, who wears his dress uniform. The staff smiles and claps. They line up along the stairs. Jules and Duke Edward kiss cheeks. Ashton and Jules hold hands as they walk on a red carpet toward a horse-drawn carriage. Wedding guests throw flower petals. Jules steps into the carriage. She tosses her bouquet. Mrs. Birch catches it. Paisley kisses her cheek. Ashton closes the carriage door. He turns to Jules.
Hello, my prince.
Hello, princess.
Sounds like we're in line for a throne somewhere.
Well, as a matter of fact, we are.
No. Really?
Ashton smiles. They kiss. Maddie waves her hand in the air. Milo claps and smiles.
Drive on.
It is true not all tales have happy endings. But then, for Jules Daly, the dreamer from Buffalo, the story is just beginning.
The horse-drawn carriage drives a tree-lined road. The crowd waves. Previous credits: Katie McGrath, Sam Hugan, Miles Richardson, Charlotte Salt, Travis Turner, Lila DeMisa, and Roger Moore. Written by Janine Damian and Michael Damian. Directed by Michael Damian. Credits roll. Film by Michael Damian. Produced by Janine Damian and Michael Damian. Executive producers Brad Crevoy, Francisco J. Gonzalez, Ruben Lieber. Line producer Amy Krell. Director of photography Vera L. Sigrevici. Production designer John Wellbanks. Edited by Seth Flom. Costume designer Oana Dragici. Music by Mark Thomas. Production sound mixer Christian Tarnovecchi. Post-production sound services provided by Post Digital. Casting by Carolyn McLeod. Cast: Jules, Katie McGrath, Edward, Roger Moore, Ashton, Sam Hugan, Milo, Travis Turner, Maddie, Lila DeMisa, Paisley, Miles Richardson, Lady Arabella, Charlotte Salt, Thomas, Razavan Opera, Mrs. Birch, Oksana Moravec, Floyd, Alan Oltalinu, Abigail, Madalena Ania, Gibson, Razavan Siriu, Zoe, Olivia Crevoy, Bob, Tristan Thomas, Mrs. Kelly, Maria Jungitu, Duke of Belmont, Florin Busulik. Credits continue. Audio description created by Zoo Digital, written by Noel Urbano, and narrated by Joe Hernandez. Castlebury Investments, LLC. MPCA, Motion Picture Corporation of America.